Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Much like Whose Line Is It Anyway and Preseason Basketball, this is made up and the points don't matter. It's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don_Denham. It is good to be back. With me, as always, is my fellow Mavs fan for life, Ruben, I think is his name, at Reddit Mavericks. How are you today, man?
I'm doing good. You know, it's Sunday, hanging out. I'm not hungover, so that's good.
So. Lurking in the shadows, waiting to troll the nearest either Knicks and or Hawks fan. We've got Squish 41 hanging out with us today. Dr. Redacted, how are you?
Did that not pick up?
No. Everything was silent. This is like one of those, like the when the call drop advertisements, and now I just feel like super awkward. Like, did I offend him? His name accidentally? What did I do?
Are we on the air? Oh, good. No, I did a mouth trumpet noise like this.
We are. Thank you. Okay. That would have been really good as a response.
Which translates to tired.
I see. Wonderful. All right. Well, it's the preseason for us too, so we're just getting our reps in. So we don't have to be perfect.
I'm in preseason
form. Yeah, exactly. For real, dude. Yeah.
That's the whole deal with this podcast. We've been in preseason form the entire off season.
Entire time we've been doing it.
Absolutely. Well, we had ourselves
every time we record.
The Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast had a representative at one of these preseason games. Squish, how was the experience at AAC despite it being preseason?
Well, let me tell you, I was very late to the game thanks to traffic. I left after work, but the vibes were immaculate. No, I got stuck in traffic, and my dumb ass guts. I finally park, and I get 4 blocks. Towards the AAC, lost my vaccine cards in the truck.
Oh my god!
Then it was
god,
a double whammy, dude. When I realized the check-in, you can upload a picture of it.
Yeah,
that's so part of the check-in. You upload a picture of it, and I could have done this well in advance, but I didn't have time to do.
You didn't even think about it.
I don't do research. I just do things, you know.
And that exemplifies the professionalism of this podcast. It's just like, all right, we got somebody on the floor gonna give us their insights. He was there. All right, what was it like? Well, I didn't really go.
So what happens when you send the troll? you give the troll the media credential.
Terrible. Not doing this shit again.
How was did you get any questions for us? No, I accidentally stumbled into the bathroom and
just kind of like was there.
Yeah, but no, well, I listened. Well, so look, I listened to the parts of the game I missed on the radio. It sounded great on the Eagle.
On the Eagle, yes.
No, I got in the second quarter. I got to see, you know, the latter end of Luke and KP Luka's playing, right. Which they look good. They're moving well.
Yes.
They have way noticeably better chemistry this year. And, you know, it's this whole, like, I do believe that Rick Carlisle is a great head coach. I also believe with certainty, without a doubt in my mind, that Rick Carlisle is a massive asshole.
Yeah.
Because those dudes are having such a good time. And then Luke and KP, like, they would try to, and you know, and some of it could have been KP, right, not being right, not being 100%, not feeling super fluid in his movement or being that comfortable out there. But their pick and roll, pick and pop, like, just the two plays that I saw, I think they scored on two different two-man sequences with them, but, like, there was a great pick and pop moment. Luka drove in, did a little fake, and hit KP for a nice open three. KP had like time to set up a tent and take a nap before he shot it. He was so open. It was great. And then he threw a nice bounce past him. And there's just the other plays I looked up later because I heard them and wanted to see, but that KP steal and running the floor, like KP hauled ass to get that dunk in transition. It was great. But no, the AAC crowd was good. Omarui brought the house down like several times. Like they were hype as shit on him. Obviously Boban checking in is great. A lot of people behind Moses. Mm-hmm. Also getting a kick out of his free throw form. I know that we'll address that later. There are guys that the fans are already behind, and Eugene is one of them, and Moses for sure. Because like just the amount of people like that guy is so tall. Oh, like this, it was so weird. Like they'd never seen a tall person at an NBA game before, but it was just like for some reason, right? With Boban Marjanovic, all 7 foot four men on the team. Somehow Moses Brown subbing in is just perplexing. Oh, wow. Look, who? Moses? What? Moses Brown? Look, Steven, he's so tall. And then some guy's like, yo, this Moses guy is so tall, bro. Holy shit. Look how lanky he is. He's so skinny. Like, he's got to weigh, like. And I was like, he weighs 240 pounds. It's a big dude. And then he made some plays. It was nice. So, yeah, it was fun. I didn't see a lot of the starters, of course, but I really enjoyed the crowd. They were fans of Frank. Frank was getting hosed by the refs a bit, and also just like he came in like, I'm here to scrap. Got 5 fouls in a short amount of time.
Like 10 minutes, some shit like that.
But crazy. Made some really great plays. Like his defense, alone he will make the cut for sure.
Yeah, I think he has to at this point.
And you know, and it's the same reaction I had to the other preseason game, is that Luka coming in shape is terrifying for anyone that is not a Maverick. And then KP looks great comparatively. Like, I hope it's sustainable. And the biggest thing is the team chemistry is through the roof and they're having fun and you can just see it. And we've got some intriguing guys that are probably going to make the roster that we probably initially thought were going to be two-way players. Like, I think Eugene probably gets a regular-ass contract soon. And then they're going to have to cut some guys. I'm still trying to follow the Jason Kidd rotation, but it's only preseason, you know, so I'm not putting a lot of weight into it. But it just kind of seems like this is just my theory, because Moses started the first preseason game, played 6 minutes. It was awkward with him and KP, I think, but also just in general, the first preseason game is awkward for both teams. So both teams look kind of weird. But Moses and Luka, you could see how he could be weaponized with a Luka-type threat just because Moses is literally so big and athletic in the paint. You almost have to foul him to stop him from scoring a lot of the time, unless you've got, like, Rudy Gobert on your team. So that was fun. But then he disappeared to, like, the last 6 minutes of the game, and then it's just been this weird shuffle of, like, Cauley-Stein minutes and Boban minutes, and then Powell obviously came back last game. It kind of just seems like they're trying to figure out what everyone does here, and then they're gonna have to cut one of the centers, and it feels like the odd man out is Willie. Not that this was the topic, but like I just couldn't figure out what he was doing a lot of the time, which is kind of on par with
when I was watching
a lot of his offensive minutes. But
when I was watching highlights, I realized he seemed to be pretty buried in, like, he was playing with the threes, not with twos and ones.
Yeah, well, he got some time with the ones too. It's just, I don't know. I can't definitively say, like, what he's good at. Like, he plays good defense, and he's still pretty athletic, and every now and then, like, he'll get a good lob or something. But, like, Powell's got that. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And then he's working on his game, which is cool, but it's, like, stuff that he doesn't really need to be doing in an NBA game. Like, the dribble kind of pull-up mid-range. Like, he made one, and it looked really good. But then the other three he shot looked like ass. So, I don't know what's going on there. But, no, it was, you know, for a preseason game, there was pretty good energy. People are just excited for this season for good reason. And, I don't know, I'm looking forward to it. It's odd having that many fans at a preseason game, I feel.
It's weird having Mavs optimism in person. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, no, you could feel an energy shift. And you know, just says to me maybe they really did need a change. And it feels like the players have the locker room now, if that makes sense. I think Rick, for all the greatness like he brought as a coach, because he did, he is a hell of a coach, whether you like him or not. I think it was time. I think the I don't know if the league has passed him by, but I think stylistically it definitely has, because he clearly just this would be fun.
I think I saw some actual defensive effort from KP, and I think the big thing that I gathered from the two preseason games is just like how much more confidently he's moving. Like he's he is attacking a lot more. He seems to be like just patrol. He's, I don't know, a lot of good off ball movement from him. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's some,
yeah, some better body language.
Like just having seen him play as recently as whenever the playoffs were, and then seeing him move the other night, it's night and day, and there's just things he can put himself in position to do now that just weren't there last year, and that's exciting. So
absolutely. Before we get into questions, do we have an ad read today?
We do not.
Oh, even better. So you know what, guys, I'm gonna do an ad read for me, and by read the MFFLs.com. That's, you know, it's not Spotify Green Room. It's not a live streaming service. You can't get any steaks from it from Omaha Steaks. And we won't trim your balls like Manscaped. But what we can do is provide great Mavs-related content for you. And is our Twitter handle still suspended?
It is. It's hilarious. I know.
Okay,
I
got... great. So don't follow us at the _ MFFLs.
Eventually. Follow us. Has anyone appealed that?
I have.
Okay, you're gonna have to keep doing that.
I might get Bryce on it with his fancy.
We are the least professional podcast.
Fuck yeah, we are.
I know a lawyer, but I know he'd recommend multiple appeals.
All right, I'll talk to that lawyer.
One will not get it done. I know for some weird reason.
I want to see the made for like daytime television advertisement Doink Nabisco Twitter lawyer. And I know we're the ones to make it because
be careful what you wish for.
This sounds like a YouTube clip.
Be careful what you wish for.
It sounds like a YouTube clip in the holster. For later.
If y'all think if anyone's listening and puts up with my bullshit outside of this, if you thought I was done making stuff after these Bo Burnham things wrap up.
This is
your mistake.
Yeah. This wrapping up.
We've opened a gate to the depths portal of the internet.
it's Chekhov's parody video. You know, you can't mention it in the first act and not expect it to be shot in the third act. Let's get to questions.
Let's go.
Oh yeah, check out the website and follow all the riders and us. It's not a green, but we are all handsome.
Yeah. We are all of us. Anyway.
We've done face reveals on one of the three podcasts. So
yeah.
But like you're handsome enough for the three of us.
Yeah, so exactly.
I'll take it.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of which, you know what? I am going to shout at someone in the Dallas area. If you need a haircut, go to Virtus Bar. He trimmed me up nice. He did, he built the place literally by himself. Like, I mean, like not the building, but he did like all the, like, all the interior and stuff. He's not far from it though. Like he actually built the deck outside of it. It's a cool as hell spot. It's an affordable haircut, and it's also like they do beard trims. They do full shaves, whatever. They do like even like the straight edge shave. If you're a man, you're wanting to pamper yourself, go to Virtus Barber. Nice. They're in the lower Lakewood area.
Cool.
In Dallas.
And awesome. The reason Don is literally referred to on Instagram as quote unquote hot Don.
Yes, that was not a self gloss. That was someone a nickname someone gave me. So I appreciate that.
It's the natural predecessor to Handsome Rob from Italian Job.
Yes, Hot Don was a lot better than just Warm Donald, which was what that was my frumpier stage. And
Frumpy Donald.
Frumpy Donald.
All right. Let's see. First question comes from Jose. What are your thoughts on the defense or the map so far? And will Green beat out Amarui or Carly Jones?
Oh, Green might be the odd one out.
It's weird, right? Like, it's... Fuck, dude. I don't understand.
Dude, Hong Kong Amarui is looking... Which is what I will refer to him going forward. Oh. Mainly because he threw a punch once.
Was that a Hong Kong Fooey reference?
Yes, it is.
Sounds like. Yeah, I was like...
Yes. It's buried in there, but you can hear it.
Oh, I can.
Thoughts on defense?
I had to dig a little bit, but I found it. That was good.
Thoughts on defense? I feel like we've tightened up a little more. I think having additions of like guys like Nilakina have really, it's going to elevate our defense to a point where like maybe we're league average, which I think if we have a great offensive game plan and a league average defensive game plan, that we can go pretty fucking far. Like, in the playoffs, probably, you know. Yeah, I like it so far. When it comes to Green, though, I mean, you know, his whole situation is really weird. Like, you know, obviously was not our first pick, it seems like. You know, looking back at the front office, the old front office, I hope he does well. I hope that he's able to secure a spot in the rotation. You know, he's definitely a slasher, not really so much of a jump shooter quite yet, it seems like. I don't know. I think he will beat out one of those guys, but I think one of those two guys, whether it be Amarui or Karlig, will, you know, make the jump.
I will say he's
squad, so.
In the few preseason like footage I've watched, he does seem to be moving around a little bit better. Like he doesn't have like that like lost babe in the woods kind of look to him. He seems to be moving with a little bit more intention. As opposed to like, I don't know, the times that I saw him in games last year, he would just have the ball and not really seem to know what to do with it. Like, and the only production that he would have was just him just happening to be in the right spot when Luca set him up for something. So we'll see. I mean, I'm rooting for him. I hope he becomes a, you know, just valuable rotation guy, but I think he's going to be buried in that bench.
I mean, his defensive motor has always been great, and defensively he looks really good, but that just, I don't know what the timeline on that jump shot is, but I hope it speeds up.
Yeah.
He's got to be able to shoot. He airballed a three the game the other night.
Or like that, oh, or no. Like he threw a lob or whatever and it went to the fucking like.
Oh, like, that was hilarious. Like I felt terrible. Like I legitimately like. Everyone looked around in my section like, where the fuck was that going?
Yeah. Like,
there's not a tall enough mammal on the planet to have caught that one. Like, where was that going? Just literally just threw that shit into the 20th row.
let's see. Next question comes from Matt's. What cartoon jokes did you miss as a kid that you just now realize as an adult and wish you caught them back then?
My favorite one, the first one that comes to mind, is from Animaniacs, where they're looking for like they're like at a crime scene, and they're like, "All right, we need to dust for prints." And then Dot goes, "Oh, I found Prince," and she literally picks up Prince, like the musician. They're like, "No, fingerprints," and then she looks directly at the camera. She goes, "I don't think so."
That's fucking terrible.
Oh wow.
The one I'm thinking is it's from Hey Arnold, which literally top five cartoon I think in my eyes. Very, very emotionally, you know, in depth and everything. But there's one point where Arnold's talking to his grandpa and like saying how he's like too old or whatever, and he still has a bunch of his brain cells. And fucking grandpa's like, "Not since Woodstock." And I'm just like, that's fucking great, dude. Like, it's such a great one. Just like, That show in general, though, that show had a bunch of like just like stuff that was like not for kids. You know, it always came from my grandpa. Grandpa was like the hippie, like from the 60s, who like did too much, you know, stuff. So yeah, that's probably my pick for one of my favorite ones. I wish I could have caught back then.
I don't have one. I can't even think of one. Those other two were so good. I'm Disney. Still laughing at the Prince joke.
It's so good. It's like
that's a great one, dude.
Fairly Odd Parents had some pretty good ones. Like what was it? I'm gonna pinch those cheeks, and one of the kids, he's just like, "Oh, she means my face."
Oh man! All right, let's see. Next question comes from Mavlavia. We're getting ready for the season, man. Who wants to buy me and Lisa Minututed tickets for a flight to Dallas and NBA tickets for the Dallas Mavs game?
Probably well, Squish.
Yeah, Squish can probably be the one who can afford it because I have a child.
Why can I afford it exactly?
Well, it's the lucrative health care that exactly. you do.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, you must be getting paid like just so much considering we're facing one of the worst global pandemics ever.
Oh, they're really compensating us very well.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
granted, my lucrative musician salary is
and my teacher salary, you know, like
we should just change the name of the podcast to just Three Broke Ass Mavs Fans.
Yes, Three Broke Ass. Oh man, I mean, that'd be cool,
empty
man.
Wallets.
So I don't think any one of us can afford this for you guys.
I'll put it to you this way: I, as someone that's never left the country on vacation.
Wait, guys, I got her.
Anyone else here?
No, the new podcast name: 2.5 Mavs Men.
Hey, let's see. No, but not only any of us can do this, but Mavslavia, if you're ever in Dallas, let me know.
Three Mavs Men and a baby.
Oh, that's actually really that's accurate.
Pretty good.
That's actually. That's what he told. Wayne.
It just means Jay has to do the intros, though.
Yeah, I'll be able to do the intros by himself.
By default, they will be better, even if it's just
shrieking
sounds. Yeah, if it's just screaming, it's like, yeah, it's an upgrade.
Oh, Lord. Okay, let's see. Next question comes from Panda Hank. Oh, the legendary Panda Hank. I love you, Hank.
Hank!
Yep,
Panda.
Let's see. As the Mavs need to trim down the roster to 15 full-time players, do you guys think Burke will be the one cut? If not, who? Also, who's your prediction for Rookie of the Year, and why is it Eugene Omorui? That's true. That's my fucking pick. That's my pick, bro. Like, for Rookie of the Year, I think it's got to be Burke. You know, I think he's causing too many waves for no fucking reason. Like, if nothing else, like he's fine as a basketball player. Like, he showed some promise against like the third string guys. Like, you know. For the key
like, sentence.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, the
10-year vet showed some promise against the third guys.
I'm saying we got younger guys, hungrier guys, guys who are probably willing to take a vaccine.
Guys who are hungrier and more vaccinated.
So I would probably be like, hey, it's probably going to be him. I can't think of anyone else immediately.
Yeah, my money's on Burke is out of here, and then I think Willie's gone too, but that's just me. There's too much promise in Eugene and Moses both to justify keeping Burke and Willie Cauley-Stein in 2021. Which I like Willie the person though. He's fucking dope as shit. But he's like crazy. It's just like, man, I don't know.
It's a business first, man.
Or they'll throw a swerve and keep Willie somehow too. So who knows?
I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll see. You got any thoughts, Don?
I mean, yeah, Burke seems to be the odd man. But I mean, like, I don't know. I could also see like there's something about Kid being that, you know, he was kind of a journeyman point guard at the end of his career, or like, you know, he kind of bounced around, and I can see him kind of having some sympathy for that with Burke. I mean, he was such a better player than Burke ever was, but I don't know. Like, it makes me wonder if he's going to have some loyalty to a vet, because we really, I mean, who is the oldest player that we have on the Mavs right now? Is it Boban?
I think it's Boban.
Might be Boban. Yeah. As far as, but like, you know, I think there's always something to be said about like, you know, tough veteran leader. And I don't know if that's exactly what Burke is. But just having a veteran presence, just someone that's just like, just had experience, you know, how valuable that is to a younger team. But I don't know. Like, I mean, McCullough seemed to have had some pops, but I mean, it was all from third string production, you know? So
yeah.
That's against third string players. And like, you know, it's really, I it's so hard to kind of gauge what's, yeah, that the younger guys though are generally the ones that are going to be the two-way players. So that kind of makes that decision a little easier, which is why I'm like, maybe Burke's not out, because, you know, just, all right, veteran contract versus a two-way contract where you can be in the G League for a couple of, you know, couple of months, and then we bring you back on and kind of bounce you back and forth. But the amount of effort Eugene, and I was actually, I was impressed by the athleticism of Sterling Brown, because holy hell, I didn't think he had a reverse dunk in his system, but holy hell, that was fun.
That was cool.
So, all right, let's see. The next question. Dalton Richard, who actually changed his name to Mozilla. I think that's Squish inspired.
Yeah.
But
it's Moses inspired.
He says, your guys' first thoughts on the team, team/player chemistry, and J-Kid and the system. And he has to add a question. This is for Squish. This is for Squish and Squish only. It's an eye emoji with question marks. So, when it comes to team chemistry, I think we kind of touched on it earlier, but just like, you know, they look like they're happy, you know, like, yeah, it's a job for them, but also like, they look like they're actually enjoying what they're doing, which is nice. The system stuff, I really don't know what the system looks like, you know, like, I don't really like, and especially cause we've been in the Carlisle system for so long. Like, I don't know, like, what the identity is quite yet. You know, I'm sure the last two preseason games, they're going to, you know, try to hunker down on that a little bit more. It might take some time to really, like, have that identity for us or an identity for us. But, I mean, I like what I've seen so far. So, even though it is just preseason, too. You know, like, guys go off all the time in preseason talking about Jay Rich. You know, it is what it is, so.
I feel like I've been seeing a little more off-ball screens for Luka and for KP, just to get them the ball like in positions where the defense isn't quite set for them yet. And then that leads to some really nice things, like, you know, instead of the, all right, they're clearly going to run a pick and roll with Luka, or he's going to get a mismatch in ISO. It's like some of these situations, like, you'll see an off-ball screen and Luka catches the ball on the move and then makes some action happen. That's been kind of interesting, and I wonder if that's probably like to keep the defense from just being set and ready to kind of trap Luka or, you know, whatever. But, and definitely anything off-ball to get KP moving is probably good, just because I think he's better than last year. Just, you know, being able to move will do that, and being in a rhythm will do that. But he's still, like, he doesn't need to post up every play. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He's too big. He's too awkward. Defenders are
getting up in
him. You guys covered it. Nailed it.
Cool. Let's see. Next question comes from Crippled Pickle 9. I think his name was Allie. I like Allie. That's hilarious. What would you rather have? One, Luka winning MVP this year. Two, KP averaging 25 points and 15 rebounds. This is a no-brainer for me. Give me KP averaging 25 and 15. Because I think if he does that,
that'd be insane.
If he does that, I think we're in a really good position.
Yeah,
really
that's probably a championship.
Yeah, like Luka's gonna put up MVP like relative numbers. Like, you know, like, that's gonna happen. If he doesn't win it, it's because, you know, people fucking hate him. Like, the people voting for him, I guess. But yeah, 25 and 15. Give me that all day, dude. Like,
right.
Luka can win next year, it's fine. You know.
Yeah, it's kind of like when there's like races for the MVP, and they usually kind of lean towards the vet sometimes, you know, depending on the story, because they're like, Giannis is going to have another opportunity. I kind of feel like that same way with Luka. Like,
yeah,
in like the next 5 years, he's going to get MVP more than likely.
Yeah, feel it. Cool. Let's see. Next question comes from Lisa Min Utid. Who's your pick, Mavs Man or Mr. Green? I am not retweeting this fucking picture for the world.
So I'm probably the resident
yes.
Mavs Man. Mavs man,
the resident Mavs man, the Mavs man scholar.
Yeah, the Mavs, the Mavs maniac, if you will. I think Mavs man committed a bit more with the basketball gimmick as opposed to finding a used Ninja Turtles costume and then just like made like the the Deadshot mask out of a basketball. It is, man, it's almost pumpkin-y. Like it's almost not a basketball. But I do think they're cousins. I do think they talk. You know, I do think like I think that there is something to be said about just the sheer terror about a man made of basketballs. Okay. Oh yeah, it's terrifying.
All right, let's see. Yeah, I want to move on from this question. It makes you feel uncomfortable.
It's like someone put one of those $5 Walmart bin basketballs like over their head and then just melted it onto themselves and cut aisles in it.
That is a Voight basketball if I've ever seen one.
Oh, Lord. Okay, let's see. Next question comes from...
The discount and one bin.
Next question comes from Mitch. Should Sterling Brown be cut over Trey Burke?
No.
No,
I think this was a reference to I think Mavs Moneyball the other day had a someone was talking about how like one of the comments was saying how they should cut Sterling Brown over Trey Burke, and it's like, bro, they're sending their best out there, obviously. So no,
that's Burke's burner. No,
probably
had to be.
Let's see. Mavs McGee asks, why don't we put more respect on Boban's name? Why don't we put more respect on Boban's name? We just watched a skilled 7-foot guy nail threes for 20 years. Why do we all laugh and cheer when it's a 7'4" guy who does it? Is it because he looks or acts goofy?
I think so, but it's also like because of his limited athleticism, it makes more sense for him to be more post centric. But like I was talking about this earlier with a friend of mine. Like he is a skilled basketball player. Like his passes are crisp. Like it's rare that he like fumbles the ball. Like there's a couple of moments where he like grabs like an offensive rebound and someone strips him, but like it's less that. Like it's rare that he like just throws the ball away. Like I've seen guys that are half his size have less or have more turnovers. Like I'm always impressed by like how much the ball moves once he gets it in the post. I don't know where the disrespect on both. If he could develop a shot that he does that's not in garbage time or preseason, I don't know. Like, that's more skills to add towards an already skilled player, I guess.
I don't even think it's disrespect that people go nuts when he hits threes. I think it's just out of the ordinary for his play style. We know he can do it, but it just makes it more exciting when he does because he does it rarely, and people love Boban so much that they go nuts about it. It's fun.
It's true.
Dude, he's so fucking skilled. Just like strong as an ox, light as a feather, yet moves like a fridge. It's just he's so good. Great.
Next question comes from Jennifer. I know it's just preseason, but what are your thoughts on what you saw from KP? And does him having a healthier offseason have a lot to do with it?
Yes. I think we've talked about it.
I mean, his offseason right now has been everything. And his happiness, too, has been everything. He said it himself. And I think people were quoting this on and taking it as a slight as Carlisle, but his tone didn't really seem like he was saying, like, fuck you to anybody. But, like, I think it's just your typical great KP interview honesty. But he was talking about the differences in the system this year. And he just said that he thinks that, unlike last year, that some things are, and he was talking about defensively, mind you. He said just there's some things that are a lot more clear this year.
Yeah.
And he likes some of the changes. And then, yeah, just talking about how great it is just to be able to move in the way that he knows that he can. And then that's made a world of difference. And he just seems in rhythm. Like, there are times where he's always going to be awkward because he's so tall and the right defender just gets into his legs. But, like, just seems way more comfortable and happy. So like if he's happy, he's playing hard. So if the rhythm's not there, you're still going to get something out of him because a big dude like that playing hard is going to make plays just organically. So it's been cool so far.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see. Next question comes from fucking Squish 41. If you tell us on dating app, which way were you swiping? It's a picture of Better Mouse Man.
Super like.
Hashtag super like Mavs Man.
I'm deleting the app and then setting the phone on fire.
That's what he wants, you fool.
You realize this is just what unlocks his spirit into your home.
You realize that's his equivalent of a super like, and that he's just going to show up at your house.
You guys. All right, fuck you guys. Okay.
Yeah, it's basically summoning him at that point.
You brought this on yourself.
Whatever. Fuck you guys. Anyway.
You didn't read the Tinder terms and conditions. If you burn your phone, Mavs Man will be in your home.
It's weird that he's specifically in there, but they do need that since he is using the app.
Jesus, okay. Let's see, next question.
They know what they're dealing with.
Better Mavs Man liability insurance.
See, next question.
Always read the fine print.
Oh my god, fuck you guys. Okay. Next question comes from Sylvie. Who will be the Mavs breakout player this year?
Eugene.
KP.
Yeah.
Ooh. KP. both are great.
No, I think I did get to Eugene. I think Eugene reminds me of he's like a almost like a Draymond Green type player.
Just way more offensively skilled.
Yeah. But not as good as a passer quite yet, but I think he's gonna get there. So I gotta give to Eugene. Especially if he gets the minutes that he deserves. Let's see, next question comes from Britain. How do they get Luka all jacked like that? Any chance that changes his shot?
I mean, he seems to be hitting pretty it pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I think it might have helped.
That's like, just butter.
Well, you think it's like all the military press he's doing that allows him to hit that shoulder shot during pregame?
Yeah, fuck.
Just kettlebells, bro. Fucking crazy.
Introduced Luka to P90X. Like,
jacked Luka is fucking terrifying.
Just a lot of kettlebells for sure. And I did this insanity. I did a lot of jumping. So for sure, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's see.
Oh my god, the endorsement deal is right there. Luketta bells.
Jesus.
Someone Photoshop Luka onto a kettlebell, please.
Yeah, if someone's listening to this, please do it for us. We need this.
I think we found the title of the episode. I think we just nailed it.
Luketta bells.
Okay. All right, let's see. Next question comes from Daniel. Do you think the assistant coaching gig at the Lakers taught Kidd how to be a better player coach and less of a dictator approach, which was, you know, kind of reported when he was in Milwaukee? Seems important with the young talent he has on the team.
I think so. I mean, absolutely. I think it showed. Yeah. As far as like, if I think that was a crash course in managing egos, just seeing how the Lakers worked or like
managing
work.
LeBron, you know, managing LeBron is a, you know, it's a task. So.
I do like the like yearbook team that they've brought in together. You know, it's just like, man, I remember when these guys were just, now they're all on the same team. Yeah, like great. It reminds me of the Karl Malone, Gary Payton Lakers. Like,
yeah.
Like, and it's just like, everyone's like, whoa, watch out. I'm like, these guys have been like bench players for a while. Why are we freaking out about this team? I don't know. It's just like, that's just NBA Twitter at large. Like, oh, Hoodie Mello on the Lakers. It's like, God, who gives a shit?
All right, let's see. Next question.
Get to talk about the question.
I am sorry.
I'm in a hurry.
I'm sorry.
I was saying, Kid talked about that directly, I think, in one of his pressers, but he had learned a lot, particularly from Frank Vogel, just about defense, and then also just, like, you can work hard and have fun. And I think his early stints was just like, I'm Jason Kidd. I'm here to fuck you up. Like, I'm going to be a hard-nosed coach and do all this crazy shit. And I think he's calmed down.
Anyway.
Player-friendly, but also really smart basketball mind.
Nice, yeah. So. Let's see. Next question comes from Luka Doncic Fan Club. Thank you. Five movie genres. Five current Mavs for the lead role. So we're just going to go down the list, right?
Mm.
So first one is comedy. Who would be your lead role for a comedy movie?
I'd say I'm picking two because I think they would play off of each other. Jalen Brunson as the straight man and WCS as just being the bumbling, like this is like a buddy cop, okay, got you it. Know, this is like, he's like Jalen Brunson, who's like younger than Willie Cauley Stein. And he's just like getting too old for this shit. Like I can just definitely
like die hard.
Those two. Yeah. Or Lethal Weapon. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
All right, what do you got, Squish?
I want like a buddy, like stepbrothers, like comedy with Luca and Brunson.
I can see that.
That's based on their Instagram.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Let's see, for me, yeah, I think it has to be, yeah, Luca Brunson, like Brunson with someone else, because Brunson's just like, he plays like it's just a straight character, like just like straight man character.
Okay. Put Boban in like a other guy style like comedy movie with Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Aim for the bushes.
Yeah,
that's good. Let's see. Next one is action.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Oh, okay.
Amarui, kung fu movie.
I can see that.
Yeah, throwing hands.
Shit.
Hong Kong Amarui.
Holy fuck.
Hong Kong Amarui, it's right there.
Bro, give me Boban. He's already been in a John Wick movie. You know? I think he could lead his own movie and be fine. You know, just a tall ass assassin.
If you make a low hanging fruit joke about Boban, does that cancel out considering how tall he is? You know what I mean? Like that's
Well, I don't think people would be making low-hanging fruit jokes about Boban anyway, because he's such a great person.
Because he's so tall. Like,
yeah, and he's so tall.
Do you see Maxi Kleber in an indie kind of romantic movie?
That's actually the next
romance is what I think. Yeah, I would say Maxi.
Like a quirky indie romance that happens in like the Alps London or some or bullshit.
Maxi Kleber in Left on Red.
Let's see. Okay, this one was hard. Musical.
Luca.
Luca is atonal.
That's the whole thing. You don't have to be able to sing to be in a musical film.
You know, I think it would just be an all reggaeton.
Just ask Russell Crowe. Luca can do it.
What if I just scream a bunch?
I'm saying, man, like I think we talked about it before.
Luca will just be an extra in the next Mamma Mia remake.
Does he like that movie? Isn't that like one of his?
It literally on his website.
Yes, that's right.
This resurfaced and I lost my shit, but I think I need to go through this. This is important.
Okay.
Stop the pod. Let's get IT on this.
You can clip some of this out, but yeah, okay. From Luca's own website, some unknown facts about Luca, and it very much reads as like a he made this website himself and wrote this as a teenager or something, and he made these points on his own.
Oh my god. Okay, here we go.
Number one, most often he eats banana and flakes for breakfast.
Okay.
Number two, at the age of 9, he got his puppy, and according to his favorite cartoon, he named it Nodi.
Okay.
Number
Nodi.
Three,
what is Nodi?
In his shoe cabinet, there are 200 pairs of various sneakers. Just number like four, his favorite TV series, Our Friends.
Yeah.
Our Friends. The title of the show, Friends. But sentence structure implies that his favorite TV shows are friends with each other. Number five, his favorite subject at school was mathematics. Checks out, I think, because of his basketball brain, maybe. I don't know. Number six, if he was not a basketball player, he would become a football player. Oh, yeah, you know what?
He's talking soccer. That's
probably right, the soccer. Yeah. He's talking soccer. Big ass soccer player, though. Number seven, the meal before the game is always pasta, most often with olive oil and garlic. I am certain that has changed now. No fucking way you're eating that before an NBA game.
Just sweat and grease.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
His favorite holiday destination is the Isle. It's Kirk without the I. How do you pronounce that? It's K-R-K.
Kirk?
Crick? Crack?
Crack? No.
Crack. His favorite, with respect to wherever this place is, we're not trying to insult you by butchering the island of crack. Number 9. As a child, he preferred to spend winter weekends on cross-country skiing on Cravetch. Cravec. Someone's going to roast the shit out of me. That's fine. 10. Back to this, right? Back to the pasta thing. He prepares tosta. He prepares pasta with tuna the best.
Ew. Tuna.
So like tuna helper.
He prepares pasta with tuna the best. I think he's just saying he's the best at preparing. Best,
the fuck? Okay.
I mean, I guess you don't have to be that good at it to be the best.
Jesus, okay.
Number 11. His favorite football club is Real Madrid. Duh.
Yeah.
Number 12. He loves adrenaline parks.
What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that, dude?
Like Six Flags, places like that?
Oh, I guess.
No. But do you think like in Slovenia, it's just a place where you just get like EpiPens just smacked in?
Yeah! You sit in a circle with your tuna pasta and chug Red Bulls.
Oh my god, dude.
And then you smash the can over your head.
So far, we've learned a lot about Luka Doncic that had nothing to do with whether or not he would be good enough.
Yes.
Unless it's... was it bigger tuna, better tuna?
I don't know.
There's some sort of.
Or does he have a tuna friend that he's friends with a tuna fish that helps him? He's at his best, like at preparing pasta with his tuna friend, like a fish.
Okay, anyway, so musical. Going back to the question.
What? I'm not done.
Did we learn about Mamma Mia yet?
Hang on.
Yeah, like
number 13. Chemistry was the most difficult subject at school.
God damn it.
Number 14. He is a very good dancer. In the kindergarten, he already attended a dance course.
Wow. Very nice, Luca.
Number 15. To round it back on topic. Mamma Mia is his favorite movie.
Here we go again.
And then the best part of the whole list. Number 16. And then there's just nothing written.
No shit. No fucking shit. No this way.
Is this GeoCities website?
Right? It's just nothing bro, there. What the fuck? I'll tweet the screenshot right now.
Please, dude. What the fuck? Just be like, we're talking about this on the podcast. Listen to it later.
Number 16. It's blank. So it's like he got bored. He was like, I'll come back to this later, and then played, you know,
and then got
professional basketball for years and forgot that this part of his website even existed. And then at the bottom, slogan in big red letters, never give up! Exclamation mark under that. Never! No punctuation. Is amazing. That a Galaxy Quest?
I love this, dude.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Okay. Anyway, back to
this
musicals.
Is the groundbreaking research that we've made.
we had to talk about this.
It's so good.
Back to musicals.
Dorian Finney-Smith, I think, would be a great lead in a horror movie.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, yeah. I think him or Tim.
Yeah.
I've got him or Tim. Yeah. If I were to pick a musical, though, I'd go with Reggie Bullock as a great. I just feel like he could sing. I don't know.
Do you think that just him being a Nick, like he was just
yeah, in being
proximity,
New York, yeah.
He was just in proximity to Broadway that he would just
just show up on occasion. Yeah, dude.
Which means, I guess KP probably has some Broadway chops now.
Probably. Anyway, Squish, what do you have for a horror movie?
Horror movie? Ooh. I don't know. I want to see the coaching staff in a horror film.
Daryl Armstrong as the scrapper.
Sham God.
whoever leaves is the fucking head coach.
There is no Sham God.
But all the special advisors, like you got. Give me the coaching staff and the special advisors and you know, temporary coaches. Like you got Dirk and Tyson Chandler in there, and they're in like a Zack Snyder kind of. Army of the Dead movie situation. There's like a heist or something.
God. Okay. Let's see. Next question comes from Nick.
They're trying to save Cuban from an NFT that's come to life. And yeah.
A little sci-fi in there. That's good. Let's see. Next question comes from Nick. After Dirk, who was the second MVP of the 2011 championship team?
Marion. I think Marion Hanson. Like, he was guarding, like, like Marion and Berea walking like, down LeBron.
I was like, give me JJ just for clamping LeBron.
Also, the fact that JJ still exists after that Bynum hit, like I think that deserves consideration too.
Yeah, I think I'd give it.
He got banished to the shadow realm, like after that fucking hit.
Or I'd even put like Jet, you know,
like Jet's honorable mention for sure.
It's like going off like on that last game when you know Dirk wasn't doing his best, you know.
Yeah. Also, him calling the shot with the trophy on his arm in the preseason.
Still the craziest shit.
Like, it's batshit insanity.
And then decided to dilute it by adding the fucking leprechaun for the Celtics. Oh, so bad. I want to forget that it ever happened. Hope he, you know, got it out removed. What do you think, Squish?
Terry. Huh? Terry.
Oh, Terry. I was like...
One of the two T's, Terry Tyson.
All right. Oh, sure. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Let's see. Next question comes from Gabriel. When will Eugene win his first MVP?
This year.
Yeah, next year, because this year is Lucas.
So, no, this year.
This year? No.
The surprise of the century.
That would be surprising.
Eugene is the new star.
I wonder what the betting lines are right now for Eugene Aumrey.
God, like, you could put a nickel on it and become a millionaire. The odds of that, so
yeah, it's great.
It's like buying Dogecoin. Like you're just waiting for that thing to pop.
Let's see. Ollie James asks, "Who's getting cut from the roster?" We already discussed this. It's probably gonna be Trey Burke.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Next question comes from Dak Prescott Stan. I love this question. If you're to open a restaurant in downtown Dallas with as much money as you need, and you could serve only one dish and two drinks, what would they be?
I've thought about this. So I would call the spot Dark Cuban, and it would serve Cuban sandwiches, Velvet Hammer, or 512 Pecan Porter. So you have dark beers and Cubans. That's it. Dark
Cuban. I like it. I like it. That's great. I didn't even think of a fucking name for mine. Mine is going to be shit that I like. We would make enchiladas potosinas, which you really can't find a lot of places here, it seems like. My mom's neighbor makes great ones.
What is in that?
So it's basically like, it's like an orange tortilla, and you put, potato, ground beef, and beans.
Nice.
And you can add stuff. You can add like cheese to it if you want to. You can add like cabbage / you know, tomatoes, onions, whatever you want. Like, and I like mine pretty plain. Mine's just like the basic with cheese on it. So they're really fucking good. I'd have that, and then my two drinks. Velvet Hammer would have to be one. All-time favorite beer. And then give me the Hefeweizen from Roller Town.
Nice.
You know. So,
stay local.
So, and what about you, Squish?
Repeat the question because I was sending that.
I got the notification. I was like, "Oh, bitch!" Opening a restaurant in downtown Dallas. As much money as you need, you can only serve one dish and two drinks.
Wow. Damn it. See, and y'all thought about this earlier. I'm a slacker. I don't know. I would have like the most bitchin' pizza or something.
Okay.
And then everyone said Velvet Hammer though, so I'm like, man.
Like you said, we all like Velvet Hammer here. So
it's, Dallas. It's like that's the beer.
That's true.
Yeah.
Velvet Hammer and the there's a beer and I can't think of its name now.
Is it from Dallas?
I'm gonna forget that. No, it was like this limited release thing I found with my mother a while back. We went somewhere and was like, holy shit. It was like this like coconut something. It was this weird beer, but it was like the fluid of the gods. Yeah, no, it was surprising. It was like, this sounds like it's gonna be gross, but it was incredible. And I cannot remember what it was called. And it only existed one time.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you made it.
We'll recreate that for the restaurant.
So I'll be lazy and say put the weird pickle beer.
Oh fuck no, dude. Okay.
Or like a nice cider. actually.
Okay, yeah.
Do that.
Good to have, yeah.
Have pizza, like a pizza, like the like fresh crust and everything, but like you do it yourself, if that makes sense. Like a okay. like a buffet line for your toppings. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Cool.
I don't know if that's viable. Chef.
All right. So Mavs Latvia asked another question, and we are going to answer it just because he's very nice. How many blocks do you think Porzingis could realistically average per game this year?
Three. If he's right, yeah, 2.5, 3.
Yeah, give me two. Keep it a little low, but like I think two would be a good, you know, yeah, that's a good goal for him.
It's pretty damn good.
I think 2.5 if he's just on point all year.
Cool. Let's see. Next question comes from Juan. Two games in the preseason. What are your expectations so far?
I want them to win two rounds. I want to see them get past the first round. That is my expectation for this team.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. If everybody is right, if everybody remains healthy for the majority of the season, yeah. I think, you know, trying to get to that second round would be, you know, a great stepping stone for him. What do you think, Squish?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the year it happens too.
If our luck is
good.
Yeah. He also asked me personally, what do you see Brighton finishing the league for the Premier League? Give me top 12. Somewhere in there. I don't think they end up in the top 6 that they've been so far, but give me top 12. That's still a really good season for us. Let's see. Chef Gumby asks, thank you, Chef Gumby. How are y'all doing?
Pretty great.
Yeah, thank you for asking, man. We're doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I have two days off this week, so I'm feeling good about it. Let's see. A
few days off myself. It's going to be nice.
Yep.
Been going all over the place. Yeah. Lately, so.
Let's see. Next question comes from Smiley Cuss, and this is for this might be specifically for Squish. Why does Moses Brown shoot free throws like Charles Barkley plays golf?
He's got a hitch in his getup.
I would say it's clear to me he hasn't had someone truly work on those with him, I think. Because I think big guys, if you look at Boban, like someone that huge can have good technique. Though Boban, I think, is a freak of nature in that department. But mm-hmm. I think lack of a free throw coach probably, because Moses is the type of dude that's been so big and athletic, he probably hasn't had to focus on that whole lot. But he's not he's not like a Drummond bad free throw shooter. Like, he's not awful, he's not good, but yeah, that form is interesting. And I think it's probably the length of his limbs too.
Yeah, he is
hard to have a smooth shooting motion when your arms are that long.
He's 7'2", and like his wingspan I think might be 12 feet. Like, it's I don't know how you're a knuckle dragger and that tall.
He could hug a bus, but like lengthwise.
Just like Godzilla. Exactly like Godzilla. Fuck. That comparison actually makes a lot of sense.
Luke kettlebells and hug-a-bus.
Hug-a-bus.
Oh man, Moses, that's your new nickname, hug-a-bus.
Hug-a-bus.
Oh god. Okay, let's see. Next, we have two more questions today. Caden asks, I love this question. Caden asks, will the infamous Dwight Powell pump fake be utilized more this season?
I mean,
I'm sure it will.
Fuck around and find out.
Exactly. Dude, it's that meme. I don't know who the fuck made it. Just like the, you just got pump fake by
fucking idiot.
Powell.
You fucking idiot. The Dwight Powell pump fake.
It's so good. Whoever's, if you made that meme, please let us know. Because holy shit, it's so good. Credit. Yeah, we really want to give proper credit for the rest of eternity.
Also, shout out, one of the best memes I've seen was someone said, 2/3 of the world are covered in water. The other third is covered by Trayvon Diggs.
So good. Oh, man. He's such a good fucking player, man. Jesus. Nice. Our defense actually looks good. Anyway, let's see. Okay, last question of the day from Charles. Best beer you can find in the AAC during a game. Post-quarantine, since most of the restaurants seem to have been shut down.
I think I saw, like, Franconia there at one point. But, I mean, granted, I haven't been there post-pandemic, so I don't know. I think they've got – there is one spot that has local beers on it.
Yeah.
And I think there was, like, some Dallas Blonde and some I know for certain they have Carbach around there somewhere, like Love Street or something.
Yeah, Hopadillo IPA in there too.
So I will tell you.
I hate that IPA though. God, it tastes like fucking pine sol. Like that is not the best. It's so goddamn piney. It makes you sneeze. Like
it's a lot.
It's just like, do you like hops? I do. Well, here's a fistful of them through your nostrils.
Fistful of hops, starring Clint Eastwood.
Beer's beer for me. So
go ahead. But, make my IPA.
I will
that's good.
I will say, in terms of Carbach, I will say that when I went up there, I guess it was 2 years ago now, you know, the season before, the season that they shut down, but like rightfully didn't, I went for my birthday, and my fiance was like, hey, like, you know, go ask and see if like they'll give you free beer. And I'm like, why would I do that? Like, this is a fucking, you know, this is a, you know,
like a Chuck E. Cheese, but with adults.
I was like, what the fuck? She's like, you never know. Cause there's one guy who, I don't know if he still works there, but he like ran the Carbach, like, I guess like the little stand.
Sure.
In the 100 level. And I was like, oh, you know, and I'd see him all the time when I go to games, you know, especially that year, like, and the year before I'd go to a shit ton of games. So I was like, okay, cool. Let me just, you know, he almost knew me by name. Like, he knew by like the fourth or fifth time that I'd gone to see him. Like, he knew, like, okay, like, this guy's obviously over 21. Like, you don't need to check his ID anymore. And I went up there and I was gonna pay, and Amy was like, no, actually, it's his birthday. Do you wanna, like, can you give it, you know, it's his birthday, like, can you get something for free? And he was like, absolutely, and gave me a fucking free beer. Like,
after this is quarter. Why you treat service people with respect.
Yes.
You learn their name.
Yes.
Just, like, one, they're humans, and you should do that anyways. But two, like, hey, might get hooked up on your birthday.
Yeah, like, he hooked me up, and I was like, okay, like, I paid for the first one, and the second one, he was like, it's for free, and I was like, oh, shit, okay, cool. Like, the show was awesome. But yeah, so I will say that Carbach is probably my favorite just because of that story. Like, the one time I got free beer from the AAC. So
I mean, that story kind of sums up this podcast, really. It's just like that one time I got a free beer at the Mavericks game.
Exactly. But well, yeah, those are all the questions this week. So,
guys, thank you so much for submitting the questions. We are stoked about just watching new Mavs basketball happening. So we are so stoked to watch this with you guys, be a part of the season with y'all. It's going to be significantly harder for me to follow every game this season, but thankfully we have 26 local or 26 national games. So I'll be able to watch most of the games or a good portion of the games this season. I need to find a better streaming or some option because League Pass is just not going to be an option this year. That being said, hit us up, mffls.com. You can find Ruben at Reddit Mavericks. You can find Dr. Redacted at Squish41. You can find me at Don_Denim. Before we go, I will be playing Lockwood Distillery in Richardson this next Sunday, the 17th. So come on out. I'd love to, you know, play some covers of your choice. I'll be playing the Brunch Shift. They don't have beer, weirdly enough, but they do have a fine selection of spirits. They distill at their own spot, and their brunch menu, I hear, is legit. So it's going to be like a gorgeous day. They've got a lot of good patio seating. It's a good outdoor setting. So if you just want to chill and hang out and listen to me play songs of yesteryear.
It's a cool spot. I went the first time we did this, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It was a good time. Don had a whole table of drunk women singing all the lyrics to several songs.
That was awesome.
Point, to the point where he just kind of took a vocal break.
Yeah, it was great. I had an entire table singing "I Want to Dance with Somebody" by Whitney Houston. I've never felt like a better musician.
Right. And it's a good time. Hang out for a little while. Don's cover bag is deep. Yep. Like,
it is. You will really
hear songs from everywhere, and he's just great. He's just great. I'm not just saying that.
And I will say that I think I'm going to be going. And ooh, so will there Reddit you go. Mavs, and so will Reddit Mavs baby.
He'll probably be there too. So. Meet the heir to the throne.
Yep.
Awesome, guys. Well, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for humoring our shameless plugs. Again, follow us on Twitter. Hit us up. We'd love to talk Mavs with you guys. This has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Later, guys.
See ya.